Good evening, everyone, and welcome to San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist interviews. I'm your host, Charles McNeil, the Director of Education for the San Francisco Ballet Center for Dance Education. The Meet the Artist interviews, as well as Point of View lectures, are both produced by the San Francisco Ballet Center for Dance Education. Today marks a change for us as we begin the first of our podcast series. I want to give a special welcome to our podcast listeners as we record on this Wednesday, January 30th, 2007, from the San Francisco War Memorial Opera House in San Francisco. This season, the San Francisco Ballet will broadcast select Meet the Artist interviews for podcasts, and we will have more information about that on our website, and you should look on the main page, which is sfballet.org. I am very pleased to welcome tonight as my guest, principal dancer Tina LeBlanc. Welcome, Tina. We are all familiar with her work. She began dancing for San Francisco Ballet in 1992. She joined as a principal dancer, and prior to that, she was with the Joffrey Ballet for many years. We have all enjoyed her in many roles over the years, including, but not limited to, Giselle in Giselle, Odette O'Neill in Swan Lake, Aurora in Sleeping Beauty, Juliet in Romeo and Juliet, and many other roles. But this season, Tina can be seen in Divertimento No. 15, Artifact Suite, The Blue Rose, among many others. We're going to have a short discussion with Tina, and then we'll have time for questions from the audience at the end. And I just want to say welcome once again. I'm so glad to be here.
Which is more difficult for you, or more enjoyable, the classics or the more contemporary works?
That's a tough one. I think, again, it depends on the piece, because I have loved some of the full lengths. Obviously, they take a little more energy because you're on stage all night, but I adore things like Night and Rodeo as well. So, you know, everything, it's always a new challenge.
So, as a principal dancer and as a seasoned professional with the company, do you get more control, creative control, over the roles that you dance? Do you get to choose?
No.
Okay.
No.
Tina, what about the younger dancers? I know that people sort of look up to you and you're seen as a mentor. How do you wear that mantle?
That's obviously figuratively. you know, they're all my peers. Mm-hmm. I'm flattered if they do, but I learn as much from them probably as they do from me, because they all come to this profession. They've been picked for a reason, and they come to this profession with something to offer.
Right.
So everybody's just a little bit different, and I think that's wonderful. That's what makes this company so great, I think.
Wow. What advice do you give to younger dancers who are joining the company? We always have a wonderful influx of students from the school and apprentices. What advice do you give them, if you were to give them some?
I would say work hard, push yourself, and it's easy to get discouraged, especially, you know, our rep goes in circles a little bit. Some years are going to be easier than others, and there have been light years for me, and it can be hard. You know, your insecurities start to come out, and you think, oh gosh, am I not a favorite anymore, or, you know, am I ever going to do these again? But it's always in cycles, so I think just try to keep your chin up and work for yourself. Don't work for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're pushing yourself to be a better dancer for you, not for the director, not for the choreographer, but for yourself.
Right. Because if it's not fun,
why bother?
Why do it? You have managed, as well as anyone I have ever known, to balance family and career. And you have children. How old are your children now?
9 and almost 4. 4 next week.
Yeah. So you told me backstage just before we came out a wonderful little story about your youngest son. Would you mind telling the audience that?
Yeah, I brought my boys to see Firebird, and I sat out here with them right over there in the second row, and I explained the story and explained about the magical powers. It just happened to be Lily Rogers, and it's her first really big part, and she burst onto the stage in this, you know, bright costume and this flaming hair, and my little 4-year-old was on my lap, and he said, is that the Firebird? And I said, yes. And almost as if he wasn't speaking to me, he was captivated. She's so beautiful. And just continued watching.
They must have seen you backstage in many different costumes and roles. Are they caught up in the magic of the theater? And will you let them dance if they want to?
Yes, I will. They don't come as much as I would like. But hopefully in the next year or so, they come a little bit more. My older son is in gymnastics now, which I see as kind of a nice way of segueing over into ballet. But we'll have to wait and see.
And will you let him determine if that happens?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Okay. It's too hard of a profession if you don't want to do it.
Tina, you know, I want to also take a moment to acknowledge what I will call some new emerging roles for you at San Francisco Ballet. We know that you've been a terrific artist over many years, and now you're doing more things. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that?
Well, Charles approached me about replacing Evelyn in the community matinees. So I'll be hosting the matinees this year, which I find exciting. It's made my time a little cramped with everything else. And I also was able to participate in the summer course auditions, going around and picking children for the summer course. So that was really exciting for me.
Well, that's a big thing, though. I mean, so now here you are, a professional dancer who's now in a very pivotal role of helping select the new dancers who will come into the school. I mean, what kind of weight does that have for you? And is it difficult?
I think the thing that struck me most during these auditions was how many children, how many there were out there that have hopes and dreams. Mm. And, you know, I personally think that if you have had ballet in your past, that it's going to add to it. You don't have to become a professional dancer. And at some point, you're going to, you know, veer off and do maybe something connected, maybe not. But that's how modern dancers, you know, some of them get started, or choreographers or teachers, or even some of our administration were former, you know, dancers with high hopes. But, you know, I think it adds a discipline to your life that you can transfer to just about anything that you do. But it was a little heartbreaking in the same breath, because there are so many that, you know, they want that spot. They want that training. They want to be professionals. And very few make it.
Right.
Very challenging. Knowing that I have a step in that is a little bit hard.
It's an extremely difficult role to play, but I think a very important one. I think how lucky they are to have you in that position. Tina mentioned that she was going to be taking up a new role as hostess of the San Francisco Ballet's special matinees. It's a special series that we have for young people and seniors that takes place twice a year. And this year, those events take place on February 7th and March 12th. And we're just so pleased that she'll be hosting those. Now, there's another event coming up, and that's in April. Words on Dance is a wonderful program that really sponsors lectures and talks. And I believe this one is focused on sort of a retrospective on Miss LeBlanc's career. And that will take place on April 30th at the Cowell Theater. And you can check your art listings for more information about that. And as a matter of fact, I should point out that that event is also a benefit for the San Francisco Ballet Center for Dance Education. So we're just so pleased that they're doing it, and that we have some small part to play in it. Now, about tonight's program, because there are dances that you do perform, can you give the audience a little bit of insight into Divertimento No. 15 by Balanchine?
It's a little unlike most Balanchine pieces that I've danced. It's a little bit slower paced, but it's very sweet and, you know, very classical.
Lovely. And what about Billy Forsythe's Artifact Suite?
Well, I'm sure that some of you saw that last year.
Yeah.
It's a little intense. It's a gut buster.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
difficult to dance.
You go off so winded. You don't think you'll be able to go on to the next entrance. But it takes so much energy to get through that. And the part that I do is only in the first 15 minutes. So, you know, it's not even 15 minutes solid.
Wow.
But you just have to put so much energy into it. It's so much further, so much more extreme than the classical vocabulary that we know and are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we forget to breathe. I don't know.
Wonderful. Well, we have an opportunity to let the audience ask a few questions of Miss Tina LeBlanc. I'm sure many of you, like myself, have enjoyed her over the years, and we'll work our way across the room. Yes. Good question. Do you have a choice of partners? Do you have a regular partner? How does that work?
Generally, we don't have a choice.
But sometimes there are opportunities or situations, I should say, where certain people partner so well together that we find that recurs.
Yeah.
And does that recur by chance? Does that occur by chance or by design?
I think sometimes choreographers are told that, well, if it's hard partnering, these two work really well together. Or they look good on stage, or they have a good rapport.
Right.
And, you know, vice versa as well. Do not put these people together. They fight all the time.
So. Can you give us a list of who does that later? I want that list. We have time for another question here. Yes. What a good question. You know, I couldn't put it better myself, Tina, because you have not aged. It's so true. It's so true. She was remarking about how youthful and how spirited and how beautiful you are. What's your secret, girl?
You know, I think chasing after two little boys and where their minds are at keeps me young. But I don't know. It might have something to do with the fact that as a dancer, we are almost eternally a student.
Mm.
We always have that objective eye looking at us, correcting us, teaching us, and it's like always being the student. So, you know, sometimes I still don't feel like I'm a grown-up, even though I have kids and a mortgage and, you know, I'm towards the end of my career.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the nature of the business.
Do you think it has something to do with what you love, doing what you love?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, when you're on purpose and you do what you love,
of course.
Easier.
I think if you don't do something you love, it can just drain you.
Yeah. Yes, we have time for a couple more questions. Yes. Very good question. You mentioned that the Forsyth piece was energetic and challenging. What do you do something special to prepare for that, to get ready for that kind of endurance or challenge that ballet takes?
Personally, I find that the way for me to get through a piece is to do it over and over, to run it from beginning to end, to build the stamina in that particular piece, because I have found that I build up stamina for one piece that doesn't necessarily translate to another piece.
We're in conversation with Tina LeBlanc. We have time for a couple more questions. Yes. The question is, who is your favorite choreographer?
That could get me into trouble.
Who's your favorite choreographer this season?
Right.
Okay.
I've enjoyed so many. Yeah. I've been very fortunate to have worked with, of course, Helgi, he's used me quite a bit lately, and Stanton Welch and Christopher Wheeldon and Mark Morris and Billy Forsyth. Despite the fact of having done two of his pieces, I just worked with him maybe 3 days total. So that, you know, I'd like to work with him more.
One more question? Yes. Good point. Something I was thinking of myself. You know, do you still get butterflies before you go on stage? And what prepared you to be such a good speaker for a situation like this?
Well, I'm sweating more right now than I do on stage. Yeah, I still get butterflies most of the time.
Hmm.
And I learned to overcome it because I realized that it could be detrimental. There were times where I let those nerves affect my performance, and that's no way to go out there. It's not fun, and it certainly isn't pretty. So I found a way to just try to relax and focus on what I was doing and not the fact that I was in front of an audience or it was the first time I'd done it or, you know, what other thing that might be setting my nerves off.
In our closing remarks, there's so many different questions I could ask, but I will ask one of these. Is there anything you want the audience to know about you and about your work and about your approach to it that maybe no one's ever asked you before?
I think just please enjoy me because I don't have much time left.
Yeah. A round of applause for Miss LeBlanc. It has been a sheer pleasure being in conversation with you, and I want to thank everyone in our audience and who are listening on the internet for being a part of the greater San Francisco Ballet family. Once again, I want to mention that San Francisco Ballet is beginning the process of podcasting select MTA or Meet the Artist interviews, and you can find more information about that on our website at sfballet.org. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you.